Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the Coach's Playbook podcast. On today's episode, I have two of Kentucky's top girls basketball coaches on to talk about a variety of little things that make a big difference in their program. From social media promotion to half-court birthday shots, this episode has it all. High school coaches and college coaches alike are sure to find something they can take back to build up their program. Enjoy. I'm really excited to have both Coach Souder of South Laurel and Coach Head from Bowling Green with us today. Both of these coaches claimed their respective regional championships and unfortunately didn't quite get to finish things out, but who knows how it will shake out. Both of these coaches have multiple trips to the state tournament under their belt and bring an energy and an air to their program that promotes winning. Today, we are kind of just going to do a buffet of things that we do that add value to our programs. So let's jump right into it today because I know we have a lot to share and I want everyone tuning in to take away as much as possible. Coach Head, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Let's start off by talking about your guys' social media presence. You know, the Lady Purple basketball account is a really good follow on Twitter. Some of your last tweets include recognizing player accomplishments. There's a TikTok with an assistant coach guest appearance, huddle highlights, happy birthdays, you know, even some communication pieces, just letting players know about exit meetings. From the day you took over the program, it really seemed like this was important to you and for you to have a strong social media presence. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. I think that that's one way that we are able to connect with this generation of kids through social media and trying to provide a positive platform to be able to recognize kids for all types of different recognition. It also allows us to kind of build our brand and establish a positive culture around what we do. And it allows us to recognize players, not the ones that's always in the media for recognition, but those that may not show up in the scorebooks every night. We're able to recognize them in different ways.
Yeah, that's really good. You talk about building your brand, and you know, it's for us, it's not about, you know, a brand to sell to like recruits. It's about, you know, like you said, it's about establishing that culture piece of making a big deal about our kids. And I think sometimes people may look at some things and go, how they overdo it, or that I don't think you can overdo it when it comes to making a big deal about your kids. And that's why I love your guys' social media presence. And like you said, it's just a great way to recognize those role players, to recognize, you know, the kids that just don't get seen or don't get heard because of they're not in the stat line. So I think that's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in our area, boys basketball gets a lot of the recognition throughout our area. So one thing we want to do is try to figure out how we can promote girls basketball. And we say our brand, we're talking about getting people in the stands to see our girls compete. So that's kind of been one way that we've been able to do that. And our teachers follow them. So when they see something, they're able to kind of say those things to our kids in class. And our kids like being noticed just like everybody else.
Yeah, that's a great point, too, about their, you know, their teachers, their fellow students. I mean, all of these kids are on social media, even the adults. And so as much as we can get them out there, like you said, the teachers do notice, their fellow students do notice. And I think that's a great way to get positive momentum towards your program. So I think that's really good stuff. I think, you know, coaches who are maybe looking to start using social media or just are looking, you know, for more creative ways to use it, I think they should definitely go follow Lady Purple Hoops on Twitter because there's just a lot of good stuff there and it covers the gambit. So I think you guys do an excellent job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Just hang in there with us. We're going to jump all over the place. But Coach Souder, we're glad to have you with us as well.
Yeah, glad to be here. This is pretty awesome what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, this was a selfish thing that I wanted to get better and I wanted to ask really good coaches, really, you know, questions that I wanted answers to. And I thought if we could grow the game along the way, then even better. But, you know, today we're talking about adding value to the program, you know, and just unique things that we do for the kids. I know we've talked, and tell me again what you do when a player or a coach has a birthday that day, because I remember it's really neat.
Well, what we do is, you know, and on birthdays, what we do, and I actually got this idea from a college coach, and what we do on birthdays, if your birthday or a coach's birthday, at the end of practice, everybody gets 3 half court shots, or that kids, when it's your birthday, you get 3 mid court shots. And this is a team thing. If you hit it, it's for the team. So if you make your first one, it's ice cream for the whole team, blizzard, whatever they want. If you hit 2, it's not only ice cream, but then it's some kind of, you know, we might do chicken at Cane's or Chick-fil-A, somewhere like that of their choice. And that's for the team as well. And then if you hit all 3, it's the ice cream, the chicken, or pizza, whatever they want to do. And then it's a steak dinner. So I've not had anybody hit all 3. In fact, we came close to 2 a couple times, but we've had quite a few hit 1. And it's for the coaches as well. You know, if it's assistant coach's birthday, or, you know, I was born on Christmas Day, so mine's at a different time. So I still try to get it somewhere else. Like, we got kids' birthdays in the summer. You know, they'll remind you. And then there's some, these little young kids, they're shy. They don't want to, you know, and one of the older ones say, hey, coach, it's Caden's birthday today. You know, they're a little timid. And I think that's a way to get those young kids involved in your program too. And, you know, you get a good laugh at it. Some of them will, I've had soccer players that want to throw it like a throw in, and they'll throw it over the backboard, or, you know, so it's just something fun at the end of practice to do. And then sometimes it's good if you've had a rough practice, or you've had one where I've been on them and been pretty intense that day. And it's even good for me to say, okay, as mad as I am, or frustrated as I am, we still got to do this, because you end your practice on a positive note.
Yeah, that's really good. So just to clarify, they have to hit the first one. They don't get 3, right? Like, they have to hit them in succession. Like, if they miss the first one, it's over.
No. Oh, okay. Here's the deal. If you miss your first one, okay, then you get another one. If you hit 1 out of 3, you get ice cream. If you hit 2 out of 3, I guess I should have said it that way, ice cream, chicken, pizza, whatever. And if you hit all 3, you know, you get all 3 of those things, plus, you know, the big steak dinner. So, and I get nervous, because when it's their birthday, you can tell when it's somebody's birthday. Of course, four practice, I'll come out and they're practicing those half court shots, getting ready. And of course, a couple times I'll tell them it's been close, or they'll do it. Say, can I do mine right now? And I was like, nope, you got to wait. And then as soon as I say that, they'll shoot one, hit it, and then they'll beg me to count it. And so it's just, like I said, it's just a fun way to do stuff. And then they'll get just as excited when it's an assistant coach's birthday, you know, and, you know, to see, you know, Coach Edwards, you know, he's been around the game. He's one of my assistants. For him to shoot a mid-court shot, they just, for some reason, those kids just think that's hilarious.
If one of my assistants hits that shot, they're fired.
Yeah, that's the thing, because they can get in your pocketbook. If somebody hits 3, I sweat it out, now I'm telling you. So it's because I've had close where they've been all 3 have been right there, and they just didn't go in. So I get a little nervous, because that would get expensive. That's not a booster club. That would come out of Coach Souter's pocketbook.
Coach Souter, you're a self-proclaimed old school guy, but what have you changed or done the last few years that you think has really had a positive impact that you maybe wouldn't have considered, you know, 5+ years ago?
Well, and it is, listening to Coach Head there just a second ago, that, you know, that social media stuff, you have to do that. You know, if you're not going to sell your program, who is? And he's right. The boys get way more recognition. So you got to find unique and different ways to sell your program. But you also, you know, I've just, in this generation, you know, you got to keep the kids interested, and you got to have fun. And I'm not, every day's not fun. We all know that. But, you know, I want them to look back when it's over, you know, regardless if you won a state championship or you got beat whenever, I want them to be able to say, you know what, I had fun. That was fun. I got better, my team, but I had fun. That's what I want them to do, to be able to say. So one thing that I started doing a couple years ago, and I did it more this year than I ever did it, is that, you know, we play music during a lot of our practices. I mean, we're blaring it. Now, if I've got to explain a drill or do something like that, I will, you know, we'll turn it off or turn it down. But, you know, and it's really kind of helped the spirit of our kids in terms of they're going a little bit harder. It forces them to talk, you know, because, you know, they're not going to hear me in a big game and all those kind of things. So it's got a lot of meaning for me, but for them, they just think it's, you know, you'll look over on the sideline and, you know, 2 or 3 of them are dancing, which before that probably would have made me mad. But now I think, well, you know, the kids are having fun. They're engaged in what we're doing. Now, you know, if we're doing the middle of the drill and one of them stops and dance, that's one thing. But I just think that's something big that I wouldn't have done. And I do consider, I am older. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. So there is no way, even 10 years ago, I started doing it a little bit at Mercer, especially around tournament time. I'd want to lighten up. I didn't want anybody to be so nervous and tore up. So we would do it. But this year I probably do it 3-4 days a week. And there's practices that I've ran it. I've played music from the time we're stretching till the end of it. And like I said, I'll get a manager say, hey, turn it down for a minute. I got to explain something. But I just think the kids, you know, they got to where they look forward to it. I think I want them to come into practice looking forward to practice. And if it's a little edge like that, then I'm all for it. You know, so something else that we do too is, you know, if I feel like my team's getting bogged down a little bit, and it happens, you get stale. I call it the dog days of January, you know, where the Christmas tournaments are over. It's too far out from the district. So you're thinking, it's kind of blasé. So we'll kind of pick up on it. And we may just stop and we may go to a movie or something. We may go to a movie, or we may go, you know, say, let's go do something fun just to break up the monotony. And I wouldn't have done that either. I would have said, well, we got to practice longer. We got to get this right. Whereas I think I was thinking about it all wrong. You know, it's supposed to be about the kids. If it's about the kids, I think you've got to do things like that.
Yeah, that's really good. And you know, just to kind of piggyback on that, you know, something I know a lot of people have an Apple Watch. If you do, and I also like to play music during portions of practice, and you know, on my watch, I control the music. And so, you know, I can always like pause it, turn it down, turn it up right there for my wrist whenever I just to keep some of that fluidity of practice. Or, you know, and like you said, you know, it's a good tool to say, okay, if you guys aren't talking, we'll turn the music off. If I can't hear you over the music, we're turning the music off. So I think there's I think kids appreciate that. And like you said, I do think they go harder at times. And,
That's what proves I'm old school, though, is there's no way I could use an Apple Watch to control the music. I got to do stop and start. There's no way I could do that. So
yeah, your poor manager is an Apple Watch, but I hope you don't wear him out.
That's right. Yeah.
But that's good. You know, like I know a lot of programs do some pretty neat stuff just from talking with coaches. But let's throw out some specific things, okay, that we do here that – maybe someone else can pick up on or think, man, that would be really good for our kids. Okay. For example, you know, in our program, we do themed weeks. So every day has a theme and we assign the themes to specific kids and we just rotate it through the course of the season. So for us, we always do Milkshake Monday, where they'll just, everybody at the end of practice gets a half court shot. If they hit it, we bring them a milkshake. You know, we'll have Teammate Tuesday and something like Freestyle Friday, where a different kid will come out, and it's just a great way to start off practice. You know, they get some of that ownership. If it's Teammate Tuesday, they have to point out how so-and-so, you know, they just pick somebody, and they'll just build somebody up by saying, okay, so-and-so is a great teammate this week. They did this. And it just gives you a positive, fun start to practice. But, you know, you can create those however you want. You know, in my second year, I like to have my seniors choose a theme. You know, okay, you know, does anybody want to make a theme for Wednesday or whatever? You know, and they do it for the entire year. So that's just one example. But Coach Head, I know you're big into this stuff and you do an excellent job with it. What is something or some things that you do like this? And then, you know, after that, Coach Sowdy can just jump right in.
Okay. Yeah, Coach. And, you know, you and I had this conversation a year or so ago, I believe, and I kind of hit your brain on some things, and we kind of took some of those things that you do and kind of ran with it. We also do theme days of the week. I have an assistant coach who's kind of in charge of assigning those days, and we do some very similar things. We do a Motivation Monday where the kids have to pick a quote, like their favorite quote. They say that quote at the beginning of practice and kind of explain what that quote means to them. We do Thankful Tuesday, Winning Wednesday, Teammate Thursday, and Fantastic Friday. And those things have been a hit. I had exit meetings with our players last week, and those are some things that they talked about with some positives about our program and want to continue to do. They like being able to share in front of their teammates, and then also they're able to shout out their teammates. The thing on Winning Wednesday that they do, they pick out some things that they can that they've done well throughout the week, whether it's been at practice or games, and then they can also shout out a teammate and give them some positives and then also kind of give them some things that they think they should improve on as individuals. So we add that accountability piece in there and get used to being able to kind of give each other feedback in a positive way. Another thing that we do is we do awards throughout the week. We chart different things at practice. And so whatever our emphasis is at practice that week, we chart those things. And then at the end of the week, we have some awards. So we have a leadership award. We have a grind champ award, a defensive player of the week, and a heart champion of the week. And so those are some things where we can give recognition to some of those role players. And then we tweet those out on a regular basis. So those are things that we've done. We also do some team bonding events throughout the year. We go to girls soccer games, volleyball games. We tailgate for football games. We do a little bit of things in the preseason before we get started that the girls really, really like and enjoy. And it's been a big, big part of our program and our culture that we're trying to build.
That's really good, Coach. You know, and I see you guys post that stuff on Twitter all the time, and it doesn't matter if there's not one person out there that likes it or cares about it. That kid who's getting that tweet, I mean, it's a big deal to them. And, you know, you talk about being able to, like, negate a lot of problems or just, you know, making kids feel a part of it. I think those are just great things that we miss out on sometimes because we're so worried about, you know, preparing practice plans and, you know, preparing game plans that you know, just what that can do for your locker room when you're not in there. And then what that can do for your winning is really unbelievable. And I think people miss that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I accidentally forget at the beginning of practice when I'm going through my spiel, they let me know that, hey, it's my day today. I didn't get to go. So they really enjoy it.
Yeah, you're right on there. And I'm the world's worst about, you know, I'm excited to get practice rolling. And they'll be like, no, hold on. I'm like, all right, y'all go ahead. So, but that's awesome. I mean, it just shows that they're taking ownership of it. So, you know, that, and you know, it's also great for assistant coaches too. I think that gets missed out. That's where I was the worst at was as a younger head coach was I just didn't utilize my assistants. I thought I had to do everything. And that's a great way to get your assistants involved and, you know, a great thing for them to take control of too.
Absolutely.
You know, Coach Souter, do you have anything to kind of build on that, or you know, I know that's
I know that's all things are awesome, and I know one thing that I'll do after listening to both you guys is that you know the theme week thing is awesome, and kids will pick up; they love that kind of stuff. And we already do the quotes. You know, everybody's responsible for a quote, and you know, we either do it before practice or after practice. I'm like you, Coach Ed, and sometimes I'll forget. And you're right; they'll tell you, even the younger say, "Hey, Coach, I didn't get to read my quote." You know, so, and there's been times we've been locker and it's like, okay, you know, I'm sorry, you know, you're right. So they'll hold you accountable yourself.
Right.
One thing that I like to do with my seniors, cause usually your seniors, you want your seniors to be your leaders and things like that. So what I try to do with my seniors at the beginning of the year is that they come to the house, you know, we eat dinner, and we just talk about, you know, what we want to accomplish and what I expect and, you know, what I expect from them and what, you know, and I let them say, what do you expect from me? And, you know, and so I just think that's important. And if I think there's a younger person, a junior or something, I feel like that's going to be the leader, we might include them too. But so I want those seniors to be an extension, you know, of me, even if, you know, because I tell them I'm honest, I'm not comfortable with seniors sitting on the bench. So if you're a senior and you don't get to play as much, I still expect you to be a leader because, you know, you all know as well as I do, if you don't have that great bench over there, you're not going to be successful.
Absolutely.
And I'll have a senior coming up this year that, you know, I just sent some things out kind of like you did, Coach Ed. We couldn't meet in person and I do exit meetings, but I haven't done that. But I kind of ask them, you know, some things like, you know, what do you need to do to get better? And, you know, what does our team need to do? And one of these girls sent back saying, you know, my job's going to be if it means pushing the ball rack out every day before practice or getting water for someone, that's my role. And of course I told her, that's great. You're an awesome teammate, but I also want you to think, how can I, you know, what can I do to get on the floor? right, to help the team and things like that. So we do things like that. One thing that we do as a team, I've done it the last probably 4 or 5 years in a row, and it's great. And if you've got something in your area to do that, is at Mercer, we went to Asbury, and here we went to EKU. We do their challenge course. And we go as a team, and it's probably $10 or $15 a player. You know, if your Booster Cup can't play it, pay it, you know, the kids can pay it. It's about a 3 or 4 hour deal after school. And we do the low course. They've got this high stuff. I'm not putting somebody up real high, cause you know, that'd be my, like somebody fall, but it's all these, they put you in teams and they got these leaders that go with you, and it's unique, you know, and the coaches, they'll ask me, I said, no, I'm not participating. Our coaches, we split up and we watch, and it's amazing who you see emerges as your leaders. They put these difficult challenges in front of you outside and all these different things, and you get to see, it's like, wow, I never viewed that kid as that way. So it gives you an opportunity to see a different perspective. And our kids, you know, at South, I didn't do it the first year because I didn't get there till November, but we did it this year, and they're already saying, hey, coach, you know, we're going back to the challenge course. And, you know, so we do that during our conditioning phase. I even count, that's one of our conditioning days. You know, we'll go because I want to see before we get in practice, you know, who I can depend on, who's going to really step up. And sometimes I'm usually shocked every year at kids that, you know, you're good problem solvers, or the ones that I thought were my leaders might not say a word. So then it gives me a chance, like, come on now, you know, even if you don't know, you know, you've got to, you know, so it gives me, and it gives the coaching staff a good look at, you know, how we're going to move forward with our team. So, you know, we try to do that every year, and, you know, all those things, or anything you can do outside of basketball, the team bonding stuff, especially in girls basketball, is huge. You know, because they'll ask you, hey, coach, when are we doing a team bonding night? And when are we going to – we always do a Christmas party at our house. And we do the – it might be the – you know, I read a story. Everybody brings a $2 or $3 gift, or I'll buy them all. I'll buy 20 gifts, and they're silly gifts. They're little gag gifts. But one of them might have it might be a roll of toilet paper. Of course, that'd be a big gift this year. But I might put a $20 bill inside. And I read the story, and anytime I say left and right, you got to pass it to the left or right. And when it's over, that's what you end up with. We open them one at a time, and, you know, just things like that. And you find out too, you know, we had a young lady this year on our team that was really struggling financially. Our kids found out about it, and they came to me and said, hey, coach, instead of exchanging gifts, can we not all just chip in and do it for her? The girl cried like a baby when all the gifts came in, you know, so, you know, you just, when you do all those things, you connect your team bonds, it's more that family, and that's what you want. And that's when one of my assistants says, man, one of my young ones says, now I see what you're doing in terms of building your culture. And I was like, yes, you know, this is your second family. Next to your people at home, you're spending more time with them. This is your second family, so you got to treat it as such. So that's why we try to run our program.
Man, that's good stuff. Yeah, you talk about it being bigger than basketball, and that's awesome. That's a good, you know, those are good practical things you can kind of plug in to kind of make your culture. You know, just a couple of things real quick that, you know, just some things that we've done and that's been good to us. You know, one thing is we bought gold practice jerseys, and so it may be different each year, but at the end of the week, we give out 2 gold jerseys. And the reversible gold white. So if you lead us in, you know, you decide what is the most important to your team that year. 2 years ago, we had kids, you know, we had a lot of good guys that could score, but we needed some guys to commit to setting screens. So we charted screen assists. If you set the screen that got someone open to make a shot, then you got a screen assist. If you let us that week in practice, and it takes no skill or talent to run around and set a screen, if you let us in screen assist that week, you got to wear the gold jersey. And then we'd also chart practice points, and, you know, some other guys may get that. But, you know, at the end, you get to wear the gold jersey for the entire week of practice, and you also get to pick the music that we listen to in our pre-practice. And so those were – and we tweet it and try to make a big deal about those kids that, you know, that may end up, you know, being the only way they get that. And I'll be – well, I don't think any of my former players are listening, but – we may have fudged some numbers a time or two to get a kid that gold jersey that just really needed it. That was just kind of giving everything, but you know, may not get that recognition. And that's one thing we did. Another thing is we're really, really big on film. And so one way to keep their attention in film is after a game, we'll have, you know, okay, you know, we've got a battery that goes to the person who brought the juice. One thing we do at the end of every film session, the very last clip we show is somebody who just made a goofy play, you know, shot a layup that went over the backboard or, you know, just did something just off the wall. And we give them a little keychain poo emoji that they keep on their backpack until the next time we do film. And they can't wait to give it to the next guy. And it just it keeps them excited and focused or film knowing that that clip is going to come up. So they always look forward to that. And then one thing during conditioning, we start in September, mid-September. We go 4 weeks. Every Friday, we call it Fun Day Friday. And we'll work our butts off Monday through Thursday. And then Friday, we try to do something different, try to do something fun. We went and saw Overcomer as a team this year one Friday. But I always try to do a sand workout. And so somewhere around, you know, has a sand somewhere. And, you know, one year we would do our workout. It'd be a full sand volleyball workout. And then we play wiffle ball out there. Or this year we played volleyball as a team. And our kids just, they ate it up. And it's just as much of that little stuff as you can do to kind of, you know, add that those pieces. I just think it's big.
Well, Coach, one more thing that we do that I actually got this from Stacy Pendleton. I hope he's not listening because his head will swell. But every year, and it's amazing, I started this at Mercer, is that at some point, you know, you can tell when your team is struggling, or you'll have 3 or 4 kids that are struggling, and either they're down on themselves or things aren't going right. And I started doing what's called a happy note. And I do it from even my managers. I write up a little thing and I type it up. I print it. I cut it up. I staple it together. And, you know, I might be on a bus on a game, say, hey, okay, guys, I got happy notes today. You would think I'm giving these girls $1 million. And it's personal. And I tell them, you can let everybody read it. You can, you know, it's private between you, whatever you want to do. And one of my niece that plays at Northern told me, she said, I've got every happy note you've ever given me. Wow. And she used to tell me, she's a senior, we're going to say, turn to Coach Sutter, we haven't had a happy note in a while. So I was like, you know what, if she's got to ask for it, that means that somebody probably needs it. So, and of course I'm getting advanced like you, Coach Faust. Now I do a happy text. So I don't have to. So, but you would not believe, I'll probably do it twice a year. And it's, everybody's is different. So, you know, it's a sentence or two. Hey, I'm so glad you're on our team. We're noticing you, in practice, how supportive you are. We notice you on the bench, you know, just even our manager, we do it for everybody, or I do it. It's something that I do. And I feel like once or twice a year, I just feel like those kids need that.
Man, that's awesome. You talk about something easy and small that anybody can take. That can make an impact. Yes. That's awesome. All right. We're moving on to the last segment here. We could go all day. I know I could. But last segment here is going to be a full court press. All right. We're going to have a rapid fire series of questions, and you're going to have 10 seconds or less to answer. So I'll ask a question. Coach Shouter, you answer it first. As soon as you're finished, Coach Head, you follow up. All right.
We got 10 seconds for each one or 10 seconds total?
10 seconds for each question.
Okay.
All right. It ain't too hard. Hang in there. All right, if you're up 3 with 8 seconds and the ball's at midcourt, are you fouling?
No, I ring the perimeter. No foul for me.
No foul for me.
All right, does high school need a shot clock?
Yes.
Yes, we practice with one, so yes.
You sorry suckers. All right, best site for the Girls State Tournament?
I love Bowling Green. I love Diddle Arena.
I love Diddle Arena, too.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, Coach Ed. Should they see the state tournament?
Yeah, no foul.
Come on.
I think so. Once the Sweet 16 is fielded, I think it would be great to use the RPI to seed it.
There you go. Should high school adopt a one-time transfer rule that you don't sit out, you know, that college is looking to adopt?
Yes. I say no just because of the area that we're in and everyone lives within miles of each other. That'd be all over the place.
All right. Last one. Yeah. Who do you hate coaching against the most?
A specific coach?
Yeah.
Wyatt Faust, because he knows everything I'm doing.
Since I've been at Bowling Green, I'd say Barron County, Piper Lindsay. I think she's probably one of the most underrated coaches in our state. She's won everywhere she's went, and her kids just play hard and always prepared. So,
yes, she has. All right. Hey, I tell you what, thank you guys so much for coming on. You know, I've gained a lot, and I can't imagine that coaches across the state won't be really excited to tune in and hear all you guys had to contribute. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate everything you're doing, Wyatt.
Yep. See you guys.
See you.
I hope everyone was able to take away something that can make even the slightest improvement in what you already do to make your program great. Next Tuesday, we will have Coach Rochelle Turner join us to talk about mixing up sets and continuity offense, as well as ways to motivate your kids to be an all-around better student athlete. Until then, keep getting better.